Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Multitudes were coming out to see John in the wilderness and to receive his baptism. This was the baptism of repentance when he cried out to all the people, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And they received that baptism of repentance in order to be joined to God, to believe in God and receive the forgiveness of their sins. And one came to John's baptism that was different than all the rest. One who did not need the forgiveness of his sins or repentance at all, but he came on our behalf. This is the one that John spoke of when he said, "He who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This one, Jesus Christ our Lord, has no need of repentance himself, but he comes to be baptized in order to take on the sin that was washed off of all the others. He comes to be baptized in order that God might declare him to be the Son of God, the chosen one who takes away the sin of the world. He comes to be baptized in order that he might be anointed by the Holy Spirit for his mission. And he comes to be baptized in order that he might further unite himself with us. And that's the message that our text from Luke chapter 3 and also from Romans chapter 6 have for us today. That at Jesus' baptism, he is anointed to take on our sin. So that in our baptism, we might be called the children of God. At Jesus' baptism, he is anointed to take on our sin. In order that in our baptism, we might be called the children of God. Luke begins the text saying, "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized." At Christmas, we were celebrating how Jesus united himself to our human flesh in the incarnation. That baby born in the manger is 100% true man. He completely joins himself to our human nature, except that he was without sin. And he further unites himself to us in his baptism. He doesn't spurn the baptism that was just for the multitudes of the crowds. He doesn't say that he's too good for it. That's kind of what John was thinking. He was thinking, "I'm unworthy to baptize my Lord." But Jesus himself submits to the baptism of John in order that he might unite himself to the multitudes, unite himself to all of humanity. And where all the other people that came out to John's baptism came out to repent of their sins, Jesus is just the opposite. The image that you could get from the baptism of John of all the other people is that when they went out there repenting of their sins and being baptized by John, their sins were washed off of them into the water. But then when Jesus enters the water, the exact opposite happens. All of the sins that had been washed off into the water come on to Jesus when he comes up out of the water. Jesus absorbs the sins of all of humanity in his baptism. And he carries them in his own body throughout his ministry straight to the cross in order that he might pay for those sins. And then notice what happens when Jesus is baptized. Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. And the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. What do you think he was praying about? What do you think Jesus was praying about when he was baptized? We don't know the exact words, but what we can know is that he was praying for his mission. He was praying for the task that was laid before him. He was praying for you. He was praying for you and the sins of you that he was going to have to take into himself. He was praying for you and all the suffering that you encounter that he was prepared to take into his own body and pay for. He was praying for his mission. And we can see that at each point of Jesus' ministry, he prays. When Jesus was about to give his sermon on the plain in Luke's gospel, he prays that the Lord would bless his word. When he was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration before Peter and James and John, he prays. When he was betrayed by Judas, he prays. In all of this, each prayer that Jesus gives at each different checkpoint of his ministry as he is taking on his task, all leads up to this final prayer. From the cross, when Jesus prays, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus prays at each point in his ministry, from his baptism to his death on the cross, and he prays for his ministry, and he prays for you. And at his baptism, it says that the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove and dwelt upon him. He is anointed by the Holy Spirit for his mission, for his task to pay for our sins. Just like in the Old Testament, when the priests were anointed with oil in order that they might carry out their task of offering sacrifices to God. Just like in the Old Testament, when kings were anointed with oil in order that they could carry out their task of ruling and shepherding their people. Jesus is anointed by water and the Holy Spirit in order that he might carry out his task, both as priest and king, to give himself as a perfect sacrifice for our salvation and to rule and shepherd his holy Christian church. He receives the Spirit of God so that he could give up his own spirit on the cross. And he gives up his own spirit on the cross in order that he might save us. And then finally, the words come from heaven from the Father, declaring Jesus to be the Son of God. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And these words are given for you, in order that you might identify that man as the Son of God. That baby in the manger, that man sitting in the water, that man up on the cross, you can identify as the Holy Son of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. And because he came to earth, fulfills all righteousness for us, and carries on his task of salvation, God is well pleased in him. And in his baptism, when Jesus is declared the Son of God and declared that God the Father is well pleased with him, all of this occurs in order that Jesus might carry out his ministry, his task of salvation. And then when Jesus carries out his ministry, his task of salvation, this is all in order that you might also be called a son of God, a beloved child of God, in order that God might look upon you as well and say, "With you, I am well pleased." And that's what Jesus offers you with his forgiveness. That's what Jesus offers you in his baptism. His baptism that he instituted when he sent his disciples out into the world saying, "Baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And this is what we continue to do today in the church. Each and every one of us receives baptism as an entrance into the church, an entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And this is what St. Paul describes in Romans chapter 6. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Baptism isn't something that you do to show yourself how dedicated you are to God. It's not something that you do to show other people how dedicated you are to God. Baptism is something that God does for you. In your baptism, God reaches down and touches you. In your baptism, God unites you with Christ. And when you're united with Christ, you know that everything that you can say about Christ can also be said about you. When Jesus is righteous, you are righteous. When Jesus is holy, you are holy. When Jesus is perfect, you are perfect. And this is all because Jesus has forgiven you through his work on the cross. And then, like St. Paul says here, finally, on that last day, as Jesus resurrected, you also find your resurrection in him. He who was buried 3 days in the tomb and burst forward from the tomb, we have that promise that when we are united with him in holy baptism, united with him in his death, we will also be united with him in his resurrection. That's the promise that God has for you. It's the promise that your baptism gives you, that you are called a beloved child of God. And that on that last day, when Christ returns, he will call you from the tomb, raise you to live with him in righteousness and purity forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.